It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
It's time for Chew on That. Running a 10 minutes late, my goodness. I do apologize for the late start, but we're trying to catch up as much as we can. We're doing Exodus chapter 9 with our pastor, who is helping us understand these complex concepts as we are reading them. And today we're reading chapter 9. It reads as follows. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses and donkeys and camels, and on your cattle and sheep and goats. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die. The Lord set a time and said, tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land. And the next day the Lord did it. All the livestock, take note, all the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh sent men to investigate and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died, yet his heart was unyielding, and he would not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It'll become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on men and animals throughout the land. So they took soot from a furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils just broke out. They just broke out. On men and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord said to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh, and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. Or this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and your people, so you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You still set yourself against my people and will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm, the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on earth in Egypt, from the day it was founded till now. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter, because the hail will fall on every man and animal that has not been brought in, and in it still out in the field, and they will surely die. Those officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside. But those who ignored the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that hail will fall over Egypt, on men and animals, and on everything growing in the fields of Egypt. When Moses stretched out his staff towards the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail, and lightning flashed down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell, and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields, both men and animals. It beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. The only place it did not hail was the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. God with his apartheid. Verse 27. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. This time I have sinned, he said to them. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for who we have had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer. Moses replied, when I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hand in the prayer and pray to the Lord. The thunder will stop and there will be no more hail. So you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. The flax and barley were destroyed, since the barley was in the ear and the flax was in the bloom. The wheat and spelt, however, were not destroyed because they ripened later. Then Moses left Pharaoh and went out of the city. He spread out his hands towards the Lord. The thunder in the hail stopped, and the rain no longer poured down on the land. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail had and thunder had stopped, he sinned again. So Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said through Moses. May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Pastor, your comments?
First and foremost, the summary of chapter 9. This is where we see the three plagues, which is plague number 5, which is the when the livestock, the different livestock is diseased today. Then we see the 60 plague, I'm now moving on to seal. The 60 plague, that's the plague of the boils. And then the 70 plague, the plague of the hail. What is interesting, I think, on this one, perhaps could be the verses 1 to 7, on the 50 plague, where we see that this plague attacks the livelihood of the Egyptians. You know, the livestock in the Egyptian culture, it is their livelihood. And so by this plague, we see now that it seems like the very heart of Pharaoh is being has been tempered with, you know, a holy tempering, of course. But in spite of all these plagues, no matter how severe they may be, Pharaoh continuously hardens his heart.
Okay, all right. I want us to get into it, Mfundisi, because there's a lot that is bothering me about this chapter, but I need you to help me understand the very first part that gets me all confused. Is with verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6 is following a verse that says God is going to strike all the livestock of the Egyptians. Then verse 6 says, yeah. And the next day the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptians died. But yes. Then we know this is not true.
Yes.
We know this is not true because the Egyptians had horses that they used for chariots when they were chasing the Israelites to the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Yes. So this verse cannot possibly be true.
Yeah, very correct. What actually is happening is that the way all the livestock, the better translation would be all kinds of livestock, not necessarily all of them that they wiped, but all kinds, and most likely the ones that were exposed in the field during later plagues, because during later plagues more animals actually got affected.
Indeed.
So that in this particular instance, not all were wiped off, but the better rendition, the better translation of the word all is that all manner of the all kinds of livestock were affected.
Okay.
For example, it could be your Boranas, it could be your Mashona type. Any type was affected by this particular by the hand of God.
Yeah.
No type gave it.
Yeah.
Because the hybrid, the producers of hybrids today, they will say our type of hybrid cannot be attacked.
Right.
But
right.
this translation now means that no kind, artificial or natural, kind of livestock escape the harshness of God.
Right, right.
Yes.
All right. that's a very interesting twist there, Funis, I must say. That's a very interesting one. But the Hebrew says, Kol Mechne Misraim. Kol Mechne Misraim is all the livestock. Mechne, all, not livestock types, not breeds, but all. Mechne. So all Mechne, all Mechne Misraim, all the livestock of the Egyptians, which does not speak to breeds, but actual livestock. Mechne is something, property, livestock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to establish is, Mfundis, why are we saying it's breeds, and yet it is not breeds, but the actual totality core, which is referring to
breed,
all.
When you say, yes, we say breed, because when you say breed, that translation becomes better. But when you say all were wiped off, then it becomes, we can't balance it off now.
Yes.
With what you are saying now, that in the next verses, in the next chapter, we see the oxen, the livestock to say.
Yes.
You know, so you are talking of a translation. We are talking of a better translation.
I'm talking about the Hebrew now, Mfundis, because the translations can be forgiven to use incorrect phrasing. But the original language, which is the Hebrew, does not have translations. It is just that. And that's what I'm reading to you now in the Hebrew. It says, Kol Mechne Mizraim.
Isn't it what you are doing by translating the Hebrew? What you're actually doing, you and I, is translating the Hebrew.
Right.
And in translating the Hebrew, you consider also the context.
Right.
You consider also the setting.
Right.
You consider also the language, I mean the culture. You consider many things. So in this instance, I'm saying to you, I think it's better that we consider the context. Because if we say all the livestock were wiped out, then how do we now balance it with the future verses now that indicate that the livestock was there? So when we consider context now, in translating the Hebrew text now, this one becomes a better translation, that it was the breed, it was the type, it was the kind of the livestock.
Listen to the totality of this plague, Mfundis. It says, and the next day the Lord did it, all the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. And it's contrasting.
I'll still say, and in the next day, all manner or all kinds of livestock died. You know, all types of livestock died. In it, all kinds were affected. Not a single kind was spared. You know, it becomes, the translation becomes a better one.
Right, right. Okay.
It becomes a better one, a much, much better one, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. And then we go to verse 8. Verse 8 says, then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on men and animals throughout the land. So they took soot from a furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and the festering boils broke out on men and animals. That looks like, that sounds like witchcraft. That sounds like witchcraft, Mfundis.
It's very interesting, very, very interesting. Look, this is the 60th plague, isn't it? This is 8 to 12.
Yes, this is.
I think, that's the 60th plague, yeah.
If you were to see that done, you'd call that person who does that, taking soot dust from the furnace fire and spreading it, and people get sick. That's witchcraft, Mfundis. That's actually what we call witchcraft, isn't it?
Yeah. Interestingly, this is actually an Egyptian ritual that is being referred to by the text. The scattering of ashes as a means of ending pestilence in the Egyptian culture. They were to scatter the ashes as a means of ending pestilence.
Right.
But in this instance now, they are actually scattering the soot in order to create added misery.
Right.
This shows now, God is actually using their very ritual.
Yeah.
But to prove that, why at least they think that they can use it to bring a cure, but still nothing of God can be used by men to cure, except as God shall say so. I think that is the underlying statement here.
I hear you, Fundis.
Not on the things of God. The focus would be on the God of things. God is the one who is speaking here. He's overriding their ritual. Like, remember we said it on Monday. Was it on Monday?
Right.
That each and every of the plagues was actually overriding the gods and goddesses of the Egyptians.
Right, right.
And
right.
So in this instance, God is overriding their very ritual.
Right.
To show that when you think this ritual brings peace, you think this ritual brings health and wellness. No.
Right.
This ritual actually brings total suffering. That's what is happening here.
I understand it is God, as far as Moses writing this narrative here, it's God who said it must be done. But what I'm saying, Funis, is if today you were to walk into a church or walk into someone's house,
okay,
and somebody takes soot and blows it and people get sick, you wouldn't say, amen, thank you, Jesus. We can see the wonderful power of Jesus. No, you're gonna pray the person, the demons in the person out. You are going to curse that person in the name of Jesus. You will look at that person as a demon worshiper, a Satanist, and a witch. That would be witchcraft, wouldn't it? Today, Mfundisi. Why are we seeing this in a different way? Why are we saying this is godly? And yet we know if any other person doing it today, if somebody were to say, God told me to do this, would you believe them?
Personally, this is now personal.
Yes, Funis.
Even today, I wouldn't make value statements or judge how other religions do, particularly, especially being Christians as I am. Because my understanding of God is that he can still use a crooked stick to draw a straight line.
I totally agree with you.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible with God.
So you're saying to me today. So you're saying to me, Funisi, today.
But still, what he does after drawing the straight line with a crooked stick,
right?
God can still throw away that stick.
Yes.
So God can do anything. It's very possible.
I agree with you, Funisi. But my question still stands. Are we saying that the act of taking soot, taking dust from the fire, from the furnace, that black thing from the fire, and then you take it with your hand and you blow it, you throw it in the air, and it fills the air and people get sick, that is not something that is ever going to be associated with the holiness. That is always going to be seen as witchcraft. Or are you telling me, Mfundisi, that you are saying, when people do those things, you must assume that maybe God is there? When people get sick, you must think, maybe it's God.
That's why I'm saying again. I wouldn't make a valid statement. I wouldn't say, because when they say that's what we do in our religion, that's what we do in our religion, according to our religion, that's what we do. Then I will do it the way I will do it also in my religion. We are talking again of the translation.
No. We're talking about what happened in the Bible, Mfundisi. We're talking about what happened and if it were to be applied to today. And I'm trying to bring to the attention of the listener now things that we see happening today. Things that are happening today that we have castigated and relegated them to witchcraft. I'm suggesting, Mfundisi, that when people get sick, when people cause, when you go to a church and people cause people to get sick, there is no way, unless you're saying that you are teaching us today that we must expect that God will cause people to get boils when they are sinful, and God will send an old man who's going to take dust from fire and throw it in the air, black dust, Mfundisi, and throw it in the air and people get sick, you will say to the people, no, don't worry. As people are getting boils and falling sick, you say, no, don't worry. This is an act of God. This is not witchcraft.
Is that what you're going to be saying, Funis?
well, there's nothing wrong with blackness. Black is a color.
No, I'm not talking about the black dust.
And we know the healing properties of charcoal. No, I'm just saying it laughing.
Yes, Funis. Yes, Funis.
But coming back, I still say this with both my feet on the ground.
Right.
That our discussion is to use it comparatively.
Yeah.
I mean, to use religious comparatively. The way I speak of other religions, like what you are saying,
right,
without making any realistic sense. So if it is right in their own volition, then God will judge.
But this is our religion, Funis, and I want us to perhaps, because I'm running out of, I'm already out of time. Let's talk about the using of the sky, Funis, which pushes the narrative of witchcraft. Moses raises his hand and sends thunder to people. Thunder and lightning. This is witchcraft, Funis. This is what we know in our communities to be witchcraft. When you have your own witch doctor who's going to send lightning and thunder and hail to people's houses, that's witchcraft, isn't it, Funis?
Let's come back to our now, the interpretation of our narration. Yes, Moses was doing it, but was it Moses who was doing it?
Say that again, Funis.
Moses was doing it, or Moses was... Yes, was it Moses who was doing all these things?
Moses and Aaron,
Moses,
Funis.
But were they? Are they the ones who brought these plagues to Pharaoh?
Yes, Funis. Yes, God told them to do that, and they did it.
Aha. Aha. So was it Moses or it was God?
The actions were done by God through Moses, Funis.
So it was God, isn't it? All the 10 plagues, who brought them?
I have no problem with that, Funis. I appreciate that sentiment,
yes, Funis. No, the problem now becomes when we say now, is it this witchcraft? When we speak of witchcraft now, are we saying witchcraft as regard to Moses or witchcraft as regard to God?
Because how do we know, Funis? How are we ever going to know that this lightning is from God and that lightning is from a person? If this lightning, we know, the Bible says this lightning was not in every, it was not generalized. It was lightning that was only in the land of Egypt, not in Goshen.
All these chapters from chapter 7.
Right.
Even chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, blah, 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 blah. Verse 16, so Lord said to Moses, do this. Chapter 9, verse 1, and then the Lord is Moses. So it is God who is sending Moses.
I understand, Funis.
Moses does acting.
I'm not disputing that. What I'm asking, Funis, is when we see that happening today, when somebody sends lightning, when an old man carrying a stick stands up in a mountain and then sends lightning to a particular locale, and he tells people that you in that area, I'm going to strike you with lightning and thunder and hail, I'm going to kill everything there, and that happens, I'm asking, Funis, do we say that is from God or from the devil?
When a person does that in the name of God, and it is not from God, then that is wrong. But when he does so, and it is from God, God will vindicate himself.
You okay. Yeah.
If it is God. So my argument is of not wanting to make a value statement.
Right, right.
It is a religion. That is that. If they say we do this according to our religion, and if in their religion they feel that it is God who has sent them to do that, then we will wait for the day that God will.
Sure.
We will indicate it, whether they were right or not, whether he had sent them or he had not sent them.
Okay.
That's my argument.
I hear
and
you.
And on that one, I put my city down.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you, Funis. Yo.
I will never judge a religion on the basis of what I believe.
Yeah.
Until a child God shall say, yes, I had sent them. Yes, I said they must do it. Or I did not say it so.
Okay. Loud and clear.
Yeah.
Loud and clear. Funis, thank you very much for your time and your insights.
Yeah.
Let's do it again on Friday. Thank you very much, Funis.
Amen.
All right. Have a wonderful day further, Funis. Wow. Okay. You're listening to Pastor Msagwiza. Yo. Is it me who is now afraid of what people are going to do all in the name of God? God told me to strike you with lightning. Yeah. Hi.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.